Fuck that shit.
Fuck that shit, he says. Shake that coffee.
You all want a podcast? Say fuck that. Fuck that. Fuck that. Right?
Hello.
Get the Skittles ready.
Oh, that's right. Stupid update. Gotta start every episode with some sweet heat Skittles.
Yeah.
Which is not a sponsor.
Should be, though.
It's just the same fucking bag that was on the table from last week.
It's a big bag.
It is a big bag.
It was a big bag. It's weird. The first few, you don't taste any heat.
At all.
And then all of a sudden you breathe and you're like, oh, wait, there it is.
A little bit on the back. Nothing on the front. Nope. Everything's on the back.
It's how Cody likes it. All in the back.
Yep. Oh, speaking of which, comes naturally, we are.
Joe.
Mike.
Hi, I'm Cody. Welcome to the show, everybody. Guess what we're talking about? Free Shavacadoo!
I can't feel my free Shavacadoo.
It's not the weekend, guys. That's the weekdays. That's Mike's rap name.
The weekday?
Yep. Just Wednesday.
The weekday. Middle of the weekday.
That's a terrible name.
Yeah, we're stuck with it now.
Whatever.
Oh, whatever. Oh, shit.
What?
Paul Giamatti is joining Disney's Jungle Cruise.
Like, the ride?
Yeah. You guys are going to be hosting it.
That's awesome.
With The Rock and...
The Rock is the ride.
Oh, people my
just,
God.
People need to just climb
Stifler,
The Rock.
Stifler, right? Isn't Stifler joining on that, too?
No, I don't think so.
Who else did they announce? They just announced somebody else joining.
I don't know.
I could probably look it up.
I don't think it was Stifler, though.
Is it Dan Wayans Jr.?
Boom, boom, boom. Because he's the other one. I forgot. I was like, "What? Why'd you bring that up?" And then they realized Super Troopers.
God, get with the program.
Let's see. Boom, 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 boom. Not say who else is in this movie. Oh, it was Emily Blunt and Jack Whitehall. That's who the other people were that said they were joining. The Jungle Cruise.
Did you get Emily Blunt mixed up for Stifler? Is that what happened?
No, it was Jack Whitehall. Because I often get Stifler confused with British comedians.
Mm.
Who tell super inappropriate jokes when their parents are in the room.
Fair enough.
No, god damn it, Facebook. Anyhow, we're not talking about Jungle Cruise today. What are we talking about today, Mike?
Avengers.
Wow, he's really enthusiastic about it.
Right?
Avengers.
Oh, that's better.
Which one?
All of them.
Three. Infinity War.
God, you're so awful. I thought I was bad at this.
Yeah, right?
You are.
I'm not bad at this.
You were pretty bad at everything.
All right, ad lib a commercial for the show. Go.
Ad lib a commercial for the show?
For
the show
already right shitty. Look at that. Are you sure? Let me talk some shit to buy some time to think of an idea.
I want it to be good.
Go. It's ad lib. It's not supposed to be good.
I don't ad lib. You all know that.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Failed.
Good thing you don't do a podcast called Comes Naturally.
Yeah, where it's all...
Where it's all...
Ad lib. God damn it.
I don't really like those.
They're not great. They're not great.
But they're good.
Stop. No.
Are they good? I don't even think they're good.
I like the fruit flavor.
Yeah.
But it's the heat. Like, after a while, it just gets, like, too much.
And then it starts...
But it's not like, oh, it's too hot. It's just not good, though.
Yeah, it's just uncomfortable. It's not going to have fun heat. It's not a tasty heat. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, if they were, like, candied jalapeno flavored, I'd be like, okay. Be weird, though. No, we're talking about Avengers Infinity War. By the way, it's going to have spoilers in it. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, I'm shocked. B,
I'm not. You can't get tickets. I get it. I understand. If you're waiting until like a Wednesday after and you just walk up and get your tickets, you're not able to do that.
Unless you're in China, because it hasn't released there yet. So our listeners in China, we don't want to spoil for you. You should probably stop listening.
Our listener in China is a pirate.
Listeners.
Our listener.
Listeners.
He's a pirate. He pirated this movie.
Listeners.
It's Frank.
There's multiple.
But Frank, the pirate from China, pirated this movie.
And this podcast, it sounds like.
Maybe.
Because there's multiple downloads from every episode in China.
I'm not saying all of them. I'm just saying Frank.
Good job, Frank. Proud of you.
So, what do you want to talk about this movie? Where do you want to start?
We will,
Spoiler warning, spoiler.
We will do our regular, but you want to do three or five?
Let's just do three.
Three?
Yeah.
So, three things you liked and one thing you were surprised by. Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go, Joe!
Three things I like.
I was hoping you'd be too busy eating. Damn it, didn't work out as well.
Not really. I love that the each.
Oh, I didn't say love. I said liked.
Yeah.
Oh God, hold on. That's
he's like, what? That's harder to do. I'm just gonna go. You can make them loved if you want.
No, the first of the three things that I loved is that when they did the shifts from the different sets of characters. So you had like the Guardians of the Galaxy, and you had Captain America and whatnot. It was a very tonal shift towards what those movies felt like. And I know Cody can go into it more, and that's because of the directors of those movies.
Yep.
Had actual input into it. So I love that. Number two. God, where to go? I don't know. There's so much action in it, I guess.
It's true.
This is the next thing that I really enjoyed about it. There really wasn't a whole lot of downtime. And it was gorgeous. Like, all the CG, number three, was absolutely gorgeous. There were times where it just looked like they were doing practical effects for Thanos. When you know that they're actually doing
it. Just painted his ass purple.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, you're ripped up. Just give him a ball sack chin. Go.
Real simple enough, then my surprise is how much I don't really like Thanos, but I get what he's doing. Unlike a lot of villains out there where he's just like, I'm here to rule the world. His actions are more specific, where it is, I'm here to make sure that the universe will be able to continue on, that it's not going to just become overpopulated and not enough resources to go around, and so it's going to end up like what his planet is, because that's really where this all comes from, is his planet just gets too overpopulated, resources start to become scarce. He says, hey, we should just randomly kill off people, just have a lottery, and just make it random, so that way it's fair, you know, to the rich, to the poor, to the, you know, the government officials, working class. It's totally fair, and just kill off half the population. Well, obviously they didn't want to go with that, and years down the road, his world is gone. Like, I don't know, did they really explain in the movie that it was a war?
No, the planet died.
The planet died.
Because they misused their resources.
Yeah, so the planet died, and so did his whole entire race, it looks like.
He killed a bunch of them.
I'm sure, but he did.
You know, whatever.
But that leads into his initial idea was, you gather up this army, and then you go to these worlds, and you forcefully kill off half the population so that the rest could actually live in peace. Excuse me. It's
disgusting.
Absolutely horrid way of going about it, but it makes sense. To him especially. The other thing that I liked about him is that he was very, what he said is literally what he meant.
He was very deliberate.
Well, it's deliberance, but it's literally like, look, give me the stone or I'm going to kill this guy. You give it to me, I'm going to leave, and that's it. And at least in the one instance, he did exactly that, and it was just like, okay, that's all I wanted. I'm out. You know, even at the end of the movie where somebody had asked him, what is he going to do once he finishes his task? And he says, I'm just going to basically retire to a, a planet somewhere, and that's it. He doesn't want to rule the universe or anything. And that's literally the last scene of the movie, is he has disappeared to a
space farm.
Eliminated half the population in the whole entire universe, and then left. He's on quote-unquote space farm. And that's it. To him, everything's been accomplished. He's no longer got to do anything. You know, it's fucked up that he basically left his horrible army on Earth, but to him, he's got everything accomplished.
Do you think
he's
half of them are taken too?
Yeah.
I never really saw it. I mean, there was a lot of dead ones, so it's hard to say.
Just
like,
based off of his actions of saying that it's just going to be a random thing, yes, I do believe that some of his army got taken as well. But at the end, he doesn't really care. He's fulfilled what he wanted to do. Anyway, so that's my stuff.
Michael!
Yeah. What were you surprised about? Is there anything that surprised you or shocked you?
Well, he said it was the Thanos thing.
Yeah, it was by how much, like,
his... Just, like, how much you, plot. Like, enjoyed... Or yeah. Not enjoyed him, but, like, understood him, basically.
Yeah, that he wasn't just your cookie-cutter type of villain. I'm gonna rule the world! Universe! I'm gonna be all-powerful and blah, blah, blah.
That was my... One of my favorite things about the movie was how good the villain is. Because if there was a weak point in Marvel movies throughout... I would say it's the villains have not been the strongest. And then you had Killmonger and Black Panther, followed up by Thanos and this, are two great villains mm-hmm. For those movies, respectively. And then I think the best ones before that was probably Loki. And then Loki had like his little redemption story and his sub-story going on. But like just villain-wise from, you know, the end of Thor... through Avengers for Loki, he was a great villain, and I think that was their best one until Killmonger, and then Thanos is obviously the ultimate villain. So that's number one is how good of a villain he is. And the reason he's good is because your villains, I think in all movies, if you have a villain, a super villain or whatever, you don't have to agree with him, but you have to understand why he thinks he's right.
Yeah.
And unless you get that random, like, Joker type villain, where that's just a pure chaos move. But other than that, you can't have all your villains like that. You have to have a villain that, again, you don't necessarily agree with them, but you could understand why he thinks he's right. And as long as he thinks he's right and he thinks he's doing the right thing, that villain is probably going to be pretty good. So Thanos, just in general, was one of my favorite things about the movie. I like it was really fun seeing interaction between characters that you didn't get to ever see before. Like, that was seeing how well Thor meshed with the Guardians mm-hmm. was a lot of fun. And then Strange and Tony Stark going back and forth was like, yeah, these two should have, like, that. This should be a lot more. Like, you should have a movie with just these two at some point. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just the interaction between characters was really, really fun. And then just like the little quick ones too, like Rocket and Winter Soldier when they kind of teamed up for a second, and then Rocket started talking some shit and Winter Soldier just brushed him off and kept doing his thing. All that was fun. And then the main thing is just the spectacle of it, the action sequences. Yeah. I will say I do think it was not a bummer, but just like we were talking, I thought, I was talking about it last week, I thought you had to make like the action sequence of everything to really kind of sell or to pay off the selling. And I think the movie went more the route that Joe was thinking it would have been, where he wasn't really care if that was it or not. But I still think that was the wrong move. I think if you built it up, though, the way they did, I felt like it should have had a little bit bigger of a payoff instead of strictly being a setup movie. But just the grandiose, like you were saying, the action sequences were amazing. And the best one, and you can't really, I don't know if you guys have a favorite, but there's some dope shit out of each one's, like, just right off the get-go, we get a Hulk versus Thanos. I was like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. And it's only for a minute, and Thanos beats the fuck out of him and almost kills him, and you're like, okay, so Thanos is, we're setting, you know, the tone of the movie right here. One, Thanos kills Loki. He beats the shit out of Thor, or out of the Hulk, and Thor is almost dead. And he kills Idris Elba's character.
Heimdall.
Huh?
Heimdall.
Heimdall. Thank you. So, like, right off the first scene, you're like, okay, he's physically a badass, because we haven't really seen him do anything. Mm. We know he's one of the most powerful creatures, whatever, just from story, mm-hmm. and the looming threat of him, but we've never seen him in action. We never seen him really do anything. And right from there, we hear his monologue, we see his actions, and we know, okay, this dude is gonna physically fuck up everybody, and it's gonna take all the Avengers to fuck him up if they're gonna physically fuck him up. And he also doesn't give a fuck. Like, he is balls to the wall, gonna get his mission accomplished however he wants to.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was my that kind of went into my favorite part, is just the action scenes. It's like I said, Hulk right at the beginning. You had some really cool ones with, like, the debut or the reveal of Captain America in that, like, train station.
That was pretty cool.
That was a dope ass scene. And the reveals of characters too were all kind of pretty epic. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, they kind of show up at the right time. So that was one of my favorite things. The thing that surprised me the most was just the fact that I really thought we would get some type of closure in this movie, and we really didn't. Like, I wasn't expecting the story to be done, but I thought we would have a better idea of what was going to happen going forward into the next one, and they didn't play that game at all. They're like, fuck you. And so, like, this was literally just a setup movie for, this is literally a first half of a 6-hour movie, it seemed like. Yep. And so, which I get why they did it, and I still enjoyed it, but, I mean, the hype up, biggest crossover movie in history, you know, the most epic event in movie theater history, and it's like, yeah, the next one's gonna be all those things, you know? So, yeah, but that's how I am on that movie. Cody?
Did you have three favorites?
Yeah.
It's kind of like one big one.
Okay.
All right, fair enough.
So I did one favorite.
One big, long favorite had three parts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed this movie a lot. A lot.
So far you've seen it twice?
Twice, yeah. The three things I liked, or as Joe says, loved, because he just throws that word around.
I got a lot of love.
Yeah, you do.
To give.
Ask those socks. Number one, that's gross, was the, those things, the one of the things I wanted was those tentpole scenes, and they just literally were everywhere. Like, every scene ended with one, like the reveal of Cap, you know, catching the spear, and the Hulk moment with Loki. He says, you know, you have an army, well, we have a Hulk.
Yeah.
To throw back to the first Avengers movie. And then just like that quick, like, he's getting handled, and one of Thanos' men, one of the Black Order, is going to step in, and the other one just says, "Nope, let him have his fun." And then it's right as that part, it just switches,
mm-hmm.
and Thanos is like, "Nope, I'm gonna get you!" Like, and he just literally just manhandles the fuck out of Hulk, and you're like, "Uh oh, well, this is gonna be bad."
Yeah, we're setting up that this dude's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that a lot. I like those. Just the fact that those were exactly what I wanted them to be, where there was those epic moments that just kept kind of spilling over. And of course, towards the end, it just literally every 2 seconds it felt like there was one going on, because there was, like, what you might say, there's these team ups that just kind of naturally formed out of the groups that were kind of thrown together. Because, like, you have the part with Rocket and Bucky, where Bucky picks him up with his mechanical arm, and he's spinning and he's shooting and Rocket shooting, and it's like back to the scene from Guardians 1 with him and Groot, mm-hmm. where Groot's just punching motherfuckers and Rocket's shooting, you know. That part was just fucking amazing because it's like so fucking cool. And then of course there's the moment where he says, "Hey, you know, like that arm of yours," and I'm like. He's got a weird fetish
all those parts in those movies where he's got the leg and the eye and everything. I felt like all that was leading up just for that scene. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Payoff scene. He's never going to bring up another electronic appendage again. The second thing I liked was, I would say the grandiose of it, the fact that they did make it as big as it was. And even the smaller scenes, air quotes, smaller scenes of, like, the train station wasn't even all that small. Like, it's a pretty massive fight for the most part. I mean, there's only, like, a handful of people in it. But it was fucking rad because you have Falcon flying in, mm-hmm. shooting at motherfuckers. You have the two from the Black Order just kind of messing everybody up and, like, not really winning, but really not, like, taking out anybody for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, other than the sucker punch of Vision. With the pokey stick, which Vision just got
brutal as fuck,
fucking wrecked this entire fucking movie.
Yeah,
like
he got to die twice.
Yeah,
that's how much he got fucked up.
Like I feel sorry for him. Like it was like, god damn, this is brutal. So I like that the scale that they brought it to, which I didn't think I wasn't going to see, but I thought it was going to be it's going to be more intimate at certain points, but it really wasn't. Cause even the stuff with like the Guardians and Thor, it was so short, but it was like they come into the wreckage and there's bodies floating everywhere and Thor slams up against the window and then it goes, use the wipers. I thought it was really funny. It's like, does that actually have wipers? I don't think it really has wipers.
Might not.
Maybe.
It does fly in the atmosphere.
Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe like eventually you'll fly out of the atmosphere and then she'll just burn off, whatever. But that was fantastic. My other like was what Joe was talking about is the feel of all the characters were very much how they were in their own solo movies. Cap felt like Cap. Iron Man felt like Iron Man. Spider-Man felt like Spider-Man. Doctor Strange felt like Doctor Strange. Guardians were Guardians, you know? Mm-hmm. Thor was more...
Ragnarok
Thor. Ragnarok Thor, but he was also very, very Thor 1, too, towards the end.
Mm-hmm. Just pure kick-ass.
Just fucking manhandling shit. Like, and it started with the Starforge, and from there, just it was like pure just, I'm going to beat everybody's ass. Anybody in front of me who I don't know or don't like is gonna get lightning.
Awesome. I'm having a hard time because I haven't seen it a second time. I'm having a hard time remembering who's still there. He's still there, right?
Also, yes. the main Avengers are still all there.
Okay, so
the first Avengers
movie. Yeah.
Well, so you're talking.
Yes.
Iron Man.
So Iron Cap, Man, Cap, Thor, Black Widow, Iron Man. Technically, we don't know if. Hawkeye is Clint.
Yeah.
We don't know where he stands.
All
right. When I say Iron Man, he's not on Earth, but he isn't dust.
You said Iron Man twice.
You said Iron Man.
Oh yeah. Well, face. Hulk was the other one I was thinking of. Yeah. So all the major ones were there, and pretty much everybody newer, who are mains, were taken except for Rocket.
Yeah.
Rhodey stayed. But that was basically it. Everyone else is pretty much gone with the wind, as they say.
Yeah.
The third thing I like was the keeping the characters real, because a lot of times when you have other people taking control of other people's characters, it can get kind of muddly. Plus, this movie had the potential of losing the characters in how much other characters were already in it. So, like, they didn't do, like, one of the things I was worried about, and not so much like, oh my god, it's going to ruin it, but I was like, in my brain, I was thinking, I wonder if they're going to be able to keep those characters enough because there are so many, you know what I mean? Like, you can't focus on enough, so the ones you need to push the story along, air quotes, need to be the one focused on. So those characters would probably be what they needed to be, but the rest weren't. And even the ones that are like Drax, who didn't play a huge major role, he was in a bunch of scenes,
yeah,
was Drax that we've come to love in Guardians 1 and 2.
Yeah.
He was a scene stealer. He had great lines. He had amazing delivery. Like, Dave Bautista is, like, still up. Like, he is the sleeper hit for every movie he's in the Marvel movies, as Drax, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we now have him three times, but every scene he's in, he just fucking just steals that spotlight,
mm-hmm,
with his dry delivery of shit and the way, like, just the lines he's given and the way he produces them in a fresh way every time, because the character never gets old.
Oh.
Like, the whole pretzel eating scene was just, like, ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, like, God damn it, like, you are so good at this. Like, why is this still a thing? Why aren't you bigger than you are? I mean, which is impossible to make a human being bigger than he is. I just love that. And so what Joe was alluding to earlier is the Russo brothers, Anthony and Joe Russo, the directors of not only this movie, but the Captain America movies, worked with the writers, Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely, who not only wrote both, or all three Captain America movies, they've written some other stuff too, but they helped mastermind everything going forward.
Mm-hmm.
They were obviously working very, very closely with Kevin Feige and a lot of the others, and did a lot of homage to the other movies too, not just those scenes that I was talking about with, like, you know, Rocket and Bucky and things like that, but it's like just keeping those characters the same, like the whole Loki doing essentially a Tony Stark part from Avengers 1. Like, we have a Hulk, and then, of course, you know, Hulk smash. Just the fact that what happens is they went through, and they, after they had their script, and the Russo brothers essentially signed off on, you know, yes, we're happy with what was going on, and Kevin Feige probably had to sign off on it too, even though technically he actually never saw the full script, because there's only, he even says, like, he didn't want to. Like, he's like, we have faith in what we've gotten. We've already gone through the meeting. We've already said this is where we're taking everything. He let it go. Like, he had, obviously they've proved themselves as being who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they did come from somewhere else, but they did so well with all the Captain America stuff that they didn't need to do, you know, they didn't need to hold their hands through it. Unlike some other people they had to work with mm-hmm, some of those movies. But they went to Jon Favreau, James Gunn, Taika Waititi, and said, hey, these are the scenes that your characters have in this movie. We need your authenticity on these to make them feel like they are your characters, because mm-hmm, we do not want to lose that.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, the only one I know that actually had any extra changes is James Gunn actually removed a couple lines, I guess, and added one other change to it. But for the most part, they were all like,
"Good to go.
We're good. We're good. You can go on your way." That's pretty amazing right there that they did take that input. But that goes as far as saying that obviously there's a reason Disney and Marvel have let the Russo brothers transcend into not just one character, but with Civil War had all those characters, and then of course with these two next movies even more so, having literally all the characters.
Yeah.
Like, they gave them all the pieces for the chessboard, all the pieces from the sandbox, and said, hey, let's fuck shit
Make
up
something.
And they did. Like, they really did. As for what I was surprised by, I was surprised only by one, all air quotes, permanent death. And it's who died, not how they died. How they died was pretty fucking crazy, too. But
yes,
it's Gamora.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is because we know there's a Guardians 3 coming out. And she's a fairly large portion of the Guardians.
Yeah.
And her being permadeath kind of changes that quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people are saying, yeah, but if they have the Soul Stone, they can bring her back. Kind of not really. Because what you need to do is, it needs to be, if you've seen the movie, if you haven't, I'm going to spoil it for you now. When Thanos does what Thanos does, which is kill half the population of the universe with literally a snap of his fingers, he sets something in motion that if they want to bring them back have one choice, and because of the damage that the Mad Titan, essentially a god in flesh, was barely able to handle his own right, the gauntlet was smashed on his hand, his body's burnt, he does have a giant axe wound in his chest. Not the deal with the gems, that was a whole different thing.
Just about a scratch.
Just about a scratch that touched my spine. If you, when you, the whole premise is if you get the gauntlet back and someone does try to reverse it, A, it's either going to kill them or severely hurt them like they did, like it did him, but you have one shot at it before someone else can do it, so you can't just say, oh, I want Gamora back. Or I, like, you can't just say, I want everyone that Thanos killed, because then that's a shit ton of people. You need to reverse the effects of what happened, because they're, we don't know if even they're dead, they're just gone. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So the reverse what the stones did, which means you leave Loki, you leave Heimdall, you leave Gamora, those are the three permadeaths we know of, dead because they weren't killed by the stones.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They were killed by,
yeah, that, by Thanos. She seems like a pretty permanent death.
Yeah.
Like everyone who is, dusted away doesn't feel permanent.
Yeah.
Because so many dusted away. Like that was the thing that, like, especially like gauging the theater reaction, people were legit shocked by it. But knowing how the story went with half the universe, you know, being killed, I was expecting that. But then I was also expecting some type of little bit of resolution or hint to the fix for that. But like I said, this movie and the next one, it has to have permanent death from some of these characters. To, because you can't go through an event like this and come out, you know, clean. You know,
I don't think you'd have to have death though, but you do have to have.
You have to have the end of characters. I think you need
You
can't. I don't think to. I don't want to use the words realistic because that sounds stupid, but if you go through a situation of this magnitude in that world and you come out the other end. And you win, and you're 100%, and everyone made it.
I wouldn't say you're
100%. I think that's bullshit. I think you can't do that. I think you need to have permanent loss to make the magnitude of this situation set in. And I think Loki and Gamora are permanent. I think some of the people who dusted away I think all of them are coming back somehow. And then I think some of them are going to die. Permanent deaths, and you know what I mean, and I think a couple people who didn't dust away are probably gonna go away, you know what I mean, like, and then I also thought, because one of the first things I thought of when Gamora death scene happened,
I was avoiding like bringing up a spoiler.
What? Yeah, no.
But your ass got thrown off a cliff.
Yeah, when that happened, I was like, oh, that, like, the Guardians are bigger now, only by one than they were before. And then I was like, they did introduce a new character, and it's part of the crew. And I was like, that's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. Like, now that I'm thinking about it, and I don't know if it had anything to do with it, but I'm like, well, they brought Mantis in, and then Gamora had to go out. Like, I was like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Seems like they kind of knew she was going to die. Weird. But, I think those deaths are permadeath, like you're saying. I think that the dust deaths are gonna get reversed somehow, and then obviously more death is gonna happen. It'll be a lot of death, I think, but I don't think the dust deaths are final right now.
Knowing who is taken into dust, I don't think any of them are really gonna die.
Like, that's the other thing, and then that's what I was joking about at the comic book store. Could you imagine if like all the dust deaths were like, yeah, no, they're all gone.
Yeah.
Like, if they come back in the next one, and you're like, oh, yeah, this, the contracts for all these actors, and the fact that we had another Guardians, and, like, 17 Spider-Man movies coming out, that's all bullshit. They're dead now. And we only said all that shit to make you think there's no way they're dead. Oh, that'd be brutal.
So, it's an interesting way to pass the torch. Mm-hmm. Hey, there's a way to bring in Miles now. Because Peter's gone.
Could you imagine if they did that, though?
Dude, there'd be a fucking riot.
I love chaos.
Yeah, but you'd be angry.
I'd be sad. I wouldn't be angry. I'd be like, oh.
Can you imagine, though, like, Black Panther just gone?
Yeah, like, that was the one when he... I keep saying dusted away. I don't know what else to... But when he dusted away, I was like, oh, shit. he's like, he has to come back for more. Like, I was like, he's too important outside of movies. He's too important to just be gone now. He needs to have more movies. Right. And I was like, oh shit. Spider-Man 2, like, and the Spider-Man 1 was real sad.
That was rough.
And Tony holding him as he's like saying, I want to stay or something like that. I was like,
I want to go.
Yeah.
Oh, that one sucks. Right. That one's real fucking brutal. And then, like, I was just shocked at, like, how many of them kept fucking disappearing. I was like, holy shit, him too? Holy shit, him. Holy shit, him. Like, it was just, it kept happening. I was like, fuck, leave some people for Christ's sake.
You just have the OGs, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. What do you... like, predictions for the next one? Like, what are you thinking... What do you think the play is here for the good guys?
I was thinking about this, and I don't really know. There's a lot of rumor that Captain Marvel sets up what's happening, like how the next movie is going to start off. I don't know how true that is, because
all the rumors we heard going, like, into this one was bullshit.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, we all that stuff. I think that there will be a big battle that is twofold. One is to go after the gauntlet, so they track down Thanos on his space farm. With or without the gauntlet still on, I'm not too sure if he forces it off or breaks it loose or whatever happens to do, because it didn't look in great shape.
No, it was all fucked up.
Yeah, it looks like it might be like kind of on there for like a while, you know? I'm about to chill that shit off, and his hand's probably not going to be so great. It also doesn't look like it's very effective anymore, because like the stones didn't have that same glow to him anymore, so they might have been like, you know, need to recharge or whatever, so he's going to like tear the glove off and keep it kind of in a safe place. Mm-hmm. So I think there's going to be a big battle of that where... He's not stopping them from getting the gauntlet, like, other than the fact that he thinks they're going to try to reverse what he did, so he needs to stop them. But they're going to get the gauntlet, they're going to bring everybody back, and it's going to be, like, all of them against him and whatever army he has, or just him, and he's just, like, it's going to be that. It's just, that seems too small to be a whole nother movie that's going to be 2+ hours long, you know what I mean? So some other shit's got to go down. And even if... Because I don't truly think the Gamora is permadeath. I think that death is going to be a focal point of the third Guardians movie, is a way to bring her back, or bring, you know, find out if she's actually dead, because you may find out that she's like, even Tim said it last night, like, she's trapped by the Soul Stone, like in the Soul Stone or somewhere by the Soul Stone. Yes, we see her body, but
in order to get the Soul Stone, like,
yep.
What was that process?
Yeah, exactly.
Did it take her soul? Was that kind of the
point? Yeah, so can they regenerate her without, like, you know, without the body, the soul attached to somebody else, or can they regenerate the body
with
the Soul Stone?
You think Gamora is coming back? What about Loki?
Loki's dead. I think Loki's gone forever. The only reason why is because him and Heimdall, their deaths were done outside any effect of the stones. And they'll just literally had a fucking giant hole pushed through his body. Like, he has a very large pokey stick forcibly stuck through him into the ground. I don't think you're coming back from that.
No.
Loki literally was, like, probably a couple centimeters away from not having a head attached to his body anymore, because, like, there was a lot of... It reminded me of someone being angry at, like, a toothpaste tube with the cap still on. A lot of the insides that normally are here ended up in here because his head got bigger, which is bad news. Like, I'm pretty sure the other way, you don't lose head fat if you work out, right? But if you get sick, your head gets smaller, right? Like, cancer stuff. Mm. You never see, like, you know, that sort of thing. So, like, I think when it does that, if there's more stuff in there, it's bad for him. Like, it's bad news.
Yeah, your head should never just get bigger
within
a matter of a couple seconds.
Tom Hiddleston's head's very narrow. He's a very, you know, slender head. It was not. It was very bulbous and round and purplish, and I don't think that's good for anybody. So I think those two are definitely permadeath, because they were not, their deaths were not caused by any form of the stones, but Gamora's was. She was sacrificed for the Soul Stone, and obviously there's a cosmic port to it, and I'm trying to remember, even at the second time, did we see her body we saw it before he woke up on the, in the water again, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we saw it splayed against the
rock. And then it jumps to him where he's there. You know, she's all, bow! You know, oh, that's not good. I think that leg's supposed
to be dead.
Oh, splat. So I think that one can be reversed by bringing someone who has, like, you know, like somehow there's a link between, like, she reaches out from the Soul Stone to Peter and, like, says, hey, like, I'm still with you or something, or even she reaches through the stone and helps them defeat Thanos or whatever happens to be, that sort of thing, you know, so he gets that glimpse that she's there, whatever happens to be, and then he gets to get in charge of the Soul Stone to find a way to bring her back, and that could be the premise of Guardians 3, because I don't know where that's going, because the push for Guardians 1 to Guardians 2 was, Guardians 1 was they're coming together, but then there's this, like, pull of his father, and then of Peter's father. We find out the resolution in Volume 2, so what is left for them in Volume 3, and this makes a perfect reason to go through, because she could still be embodied by a disembodied voice in it, or like a shimmer of her, and like in reflections or whatever happens to be, like he has to hold the stone to see her, whatever happens to be. I don't know. It's not like I'm a writer or something, but I could see that being a death that is easily reversible. But I love Idris Elba, as we all know, but that death seems, it's justified at that point. He did what he needed to. He saves the Hulk. I have a feeling he was trying to aim for Thor too, but it didn't work out so well.
Yeah.
And Loki's, he's super dead. Like, and there's no reason for him to come back either. Just like Heimdall, like that kind of phase of Thorness is done. Thor now is less attached to a location like Asgard. Mainly because I think they're all dead. Like, I don't know if you guys noticed, I saw it the first time and I was kind of unsure, but when the movie first opens and it's on the ship, the ship with the gladiator ship, and you see them all dead, the first thing you see is a human rib cage.
Yeah.
Like a bloody human rib cage, and I was like, I don't think that person's gonna make it.
I think I read somewhere that the only other possible survivor is Valkyrie.
Yeah, so I was wondering that, but because there's someone who looks like they're wearing Valkyrie's, like a Valkyrie looking armor, but you don't ever see Tessa Thompson's face.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if she's on the ship or if she was away from. We don't know.
We don't know what happened to her, no.
Like, we just know that at the end of Ragnarok, that ship comes in and you see.
And then we jump in and death is already.
Yeah, so we don't know what happened. You know what I
mean? Yeah. We don't know if Thor got people out of there,
yeah.
You know,
or like, Heimdall got people out of there.
That's what I was thinking about.
He could have started, you know, bifrosting the motherfuckers off the ship, and of course, then they got attacked, and he, you know, had to stop bifrosting motherfuckers out of there and start fighting with his cool sword, which I could have swore was gonna be like in him. Like, I thought he was gonna, like, I thought like Thanos was gonna grab that sword and just plunge it through him, but and you know, whatever. But yeah, I mean, to me, those are going to be like those two guys are going to be permadeaths, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Loki's run his course is he or is he not a good guy?
He's a good guy now.
He made the ultimate sacrifice, literally.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible choice though. Like, you should have used a bigger knife. Like, that was a very small dagger.
Yep.
Like, you should have had something with a little longer reach on it, like something on a stick.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you can hide up your sleeve, but it was a very bad choice. Like, didn't get him. And that arm's not coming back either. He broke that arm for sure.
Yeah.
That arm is snapped, and maybe crumbly. I disagree with Mike about the whole death thing. Maybe one, but I think you could get away without having permadeath of like some like Captain Cap or Iron Man. You could easily have either one of them be irreparably damaged. Cap could have the air quotes death, where he decides to make everyone think he's dead, and basically in a way he passes the torch on to someone else, be it Falcon or Bucky. I would prefer Bucky just because Bucky has that kind of place on there, and I've never really liked the fact that Falcon was Cap because it makes no sense. He's just a dude in a suit that has wings. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He doesn't have the strength to really do the things he does. But Bucky has obviously super soldier stuff in him and a cool fucking metal arm. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he'll have it back when he gets redusted or undusted. I don't think Tony. In my thought process, Tony is the one that rewields the gauntlet. And what my thought process is, the gauntlet's damaged. So he uses the suit to form a new gauntlet and use the nanotechnology uses to form a gauntlet to hold to house the stones, be able to reverse the process that Thanos went through. Ultimately, essentially sacrificing himself, but not dying, but being irreparably broken as a human, as a body. And yes, you could put him into a bigger suit like the Hulkbuster suit, and he could be, his mind can run it, but he's never going to be Iron Man again. So that could easily be a way to pass the torch for him. Thor, there's no reason to kill him. I would like to see him lose an arm, just because that's something that's happened in the comic books, and it looks super cool with most of a metal arm in there. I think that's a pretty cool one. You know, he chops off Thanos' arm or something with Stormbreaker, and so Thanos repays the debt and takes one of his arms. You know, kind of knocks him out of the battle. But not permanently, because he's going to come back. He's like, I still got one good arm. I'm going to fight you even with my thumb.
With Thor, too, everyone else, I feel like you've seen, like, the peak of their capabilities for the most part.
Yeah.
Thor, it's increasing now. Like, this is the most powerful we've seen Thor.
We can now see the mountaintop God. From where he's at.
Yeah.
Like, we're not at the mountaintop. He's not looking over. He's like, oh, no, there's the mountaintop.
Yeah, like you know. Like, from first Thor through all the movies, Avengers, blah blah blah, to now, it's like, oh shit, he's way more formidable than he was at any point prior, and you feel like he's just now, and that's how the stories are set up too. Like his dad tells him in the last one, like, it wasn't the hammer that made you great, blah blah blah, made the hammer great or whatever, and like he's finally understanding that he's the one that wields this power.
Yeah.
It's not anything. And then throw that onto the fact that now he has a new axe.
That too, has even more power. But
he knows, like, he's still formidable even without it, and he still has a more powerful weapon. It's like, oh shit, like, he could really do some damage now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel it seems like they kind of set this one up to be like, Thor is the power dude in the next one. You feel like he's gonna be the one to do like some mega damage and be like the God of Thunder, like you know Thor is capable of being, and like he's increasing his capabilities movie by movie, because like everyone, like I feel like you kind of, like with Captain America, I don't think he gets more abilities obviously, but I think his heart, you know, his whole sub thing is it's always from within. It's always like the fight that he has. And so I feel like he will just seemingly be more powerful just by trying harder and wanting it more than everybody else, kind of thing. And then like Tony, it's weird the way it's setting up for who he knows left. It's like Tony and Captain are going to be co-leaders, kind of, and I'm really looking forward to the scene where they finally come back together at some point. And I really hope that happens, because I really hoped it happened at some point in this movie, and it didn't.
No.
But yeah, just seeing how much more powerful Thor can be gets you excited. Like, he almost killed Thanos with the gauntlet on. Like, he almost got it done. He barely missed.
He damn near split him in half.
Yeah, and so, like, letting him know, like, if he has another shot at it, he can get it fucking done. Yeah. So that part's going to be fun.
Yeah. So I don't think with better thought process, and obviously they've put some time into this, I think there's ways around having the big ones die.
Do you think there's a need for that, though?
No. I don't think there's a need for it. Like the smaller character, no, I'm not gonna say small characters. Like, I think, like, you know, smaller ones gonna, the Heimdall, Loki, they went out as heroes in their own right. You know what I mean? Like, they went as heroes as much as they possibly could, because they aren't a Thor, they aren't a Captain America, they aren't an Iron Man. But there isn't a need to permadeath any of them. You can, and the reason I say this is because it's just for later on, it's better storytelling because you can bring them back for another big major event in another 10 years and have them come out of the shadows and help with another big event. You know what I mean? Just down the line, you could be literally gone out of it for the next big set of phases, and then bring them back for ultimate like 20 years.
Because I'm kind of on the other. I don't want them all to be gone. I think it'd be dope in another 10 years to see them make their first return to a Marvel movie after not being in them for forever. But like I said earlier, I feel like if you go through an event like this, there has to be loss to make it seem. You know what I mean? Like if they go through this. And everyone comes out unscathed. Like, you have to know that.
I'm not saying unscathed at all.
Well, death. Without them, with them all being alive, like, you know, the next event, like, is nothing feels dangerous. They never, I don't think they'll ever be at risk again. Like, you really think they'll kill off a main character in a solo movie if they all live through all the Infinity War stuff?
No, because it's their solo movie.
But you have to. I feel like the threat has to be there for you to fully, you know.
Well, yes, but the thing is, with just like in comic books, no one ever really dies. You know what I mean? Like, no. There's always the thing like, yeah, there's you know, Charles Xavier died,
but Cyclops that's died. A lot of people's biggest issue with comic books.
Well, yes,
is because they have you could tell a story and then just undo it a month later or two years and later.
To that point,
and that's I think that's.
Yeah,
a shitty way out of
yes.
committing to a story,
and that's because that's the way they've built it. Like, you can't go away from those characters. You can't just kill them off, and be like, you know, whatever. Because there's only really been one permanent death, but that's all right. But you when you do that, you can't because of the fact that they're the stories are essentially timeless, and you don't have to have Tony Stark doesn't have to get older because he can always be the same age through the stories. Throughout history, you know what I mean? With real life, because Robert Downey Jr. is not a vampire yet, or a robot. You eventually, he is going to show age. He's going to be that older one. And that's why I think not having him die and being able to come back for another story 10 years later, or whatever, long ago, for a big thing.
I know I asked you 4 hours ago, but what was your stance on it?
It is kind of hard to tell. Obviously, I think... overarching wise, obviously you're going to have all of the Avengers and all the characters come together at some point in this movie, and they're going to get the Infinity Gauntlet, and you're going to have closure on that story here. Does there have to be permanent death? No, but I think in some cases there will be, just a matter of who. I'm not entirely sure. I do think that Captain America is somehow dead by the end of this, but possibly, like Cody has said, that he may not be permanently dead. I really want Gamora to come back, but there is a possibility that she won't, although I do see... I also see this going another way of where she is trapped inside of the... of the Soul Stone, and
I could buy that. That makes sense.
And Thanos is going to be grief stricken about this.
Yeah,
and it's going to weigh heavy on him, and somehow he will maybe understand what he did was bad, and actually undo everything himself.
Try to redeem himself in a way? In her eyes, at least?
Redeem himself, yeah, in her eyes.
Because I think what leads to that is the fact that at the end, again, spoilers, he sees Baby Gamora in that little gazebo thing.
Yeah.
That just makes me think that, oh, that's...
And she, in his and mind... she specifically asks him, did you get what you wanted?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he says, not really.
Yeah.
You know? So I think because he's still technically wearing the gauntlet, he's linked to her. He just doesn't know it yet.
Mm-hmm.
He just thinks it's his brain, it's his mind doing that to him. I don't think he grasps the fact that as of right now, that gauntlet is kind of permanently part of his body,
mm-hmm.
and so because of that, so are the stones, and he's linked to them in a way he doesn't understand.
Yeah,
and I think that's giving us as viewers a look at saying, "Hey, this is possibly what's going to happen."
Mm-hmm.
And the next person who does wield the gauntlet, because it could even be as far as a last line that Tony gives before he passes out or dies. He says, he looks at Peter and says something like, she's not gone. She's with the stone or something like that. And then as he, the glove goes away, like the gauntlet falls apart or whatever, the stone falls and he and Peter picks it up. That could be like a resolution of that and leading into Guardians 3. Because again, as soon as she died, I was like, did they cancel this movie? Mm-hmm. Like, did I not? Because I'm pretty sure I heard he was like getting ready to film as soon as this summer, if not next year. Because I'm like, I'm pretty sure I heard about that. Mm-hmm. Like, I may be wrong, but I'm pretty positive I heard some rumors about that. And obviously, also knowing that literally all of them, including Star-Lord, so the only one literally around is Rocket, is mind-boggling. So, like, obviously, like, even if they did add Mantis to, like, the roster permanently, which it looks like they did, they're need to bring a couple of them back after the undusting, because Rocket and Star-Lord would be a good buddy cop theme, but it's not really the Guardians, you know what I mean? No. You need the Groot, you need the Drax, I think you need Gamora, because I think what's hurt the worst about her dying, and of course what set Peter off to undo the perfect...
Is there their like love and like romance is it's like
finally,
solidified.
Yeah, it's finally, you know? they it's there. And then he has those two moments, of one moment where she's begging him to shoot her, and obviously he shoots Bubbles and that's not gonna be a thing. Mm-hmm. But then knowing or being told that she's dead, that he's mourning and blah, 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 and he assumes that she's dead. Again, we don't know. Sets him off, and of course he then undoes everything that they were working so hard to do, and then gets punched in the face and sent flying. That just seems like it's something that's going to be... need to be undone. You know what I mean? In some way. Because it could end Guardians 3 with her being finally resurrected somehow. And then that could be the end of the Guardians stories. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, Joe. I didn't mean to make you cry, but think about the Guardians. Yeah, I come back, right? But it just means, because it's really hard to have a movie like that have more than three movies, or a team like an idea like that going more than three movies, just because it is those. That crew is made up of so many big stars. I mean, Chris Pratt is doing more and more things, anyways. Zoe is obviously part of the Avatar world. Not that you can easily replace her, because she's a big blue cat and anyone can be that. But it just seems like going past Volume 3 may be a stretch of what a James Gunn wants to, because it's a lot of time he has to put in. But also just the fact
that James Gunn is a little iffy about coming back for the third one. Like, not iffy, but it was a hard decision for him to make.
Yes, he's talked about that. Marvel gave him, hey, say, you're going to basically be the architect of what's going forward. And he goes, okay.
Yeah.
You know? Plus, I'm pretty sure there's a paycheck involved in there that was pretty hard to turn down.
Oh, yeah.
Not because he's a muddy grubbing.
Gunn seems to be in that sweet spot right now where he gets to do this big studio stuff, and then in between he sneaks in his little passion projects.
Yeah.
And like, that's the stuff I think he really, really likes. And as long as he gets to keep making Guardians or anything Marvel with his kind of freedom. And Marvel's in this really weird place where it's not really any other movie studio to where, like, the people who are making the decisions are the people who started this thing. And it's still a pretty small group of decision makers. Yeah. You know, it's not like Paramount or something where you just get Joe Schmo, fucking executive guy, decides to make some changes at the last minute and nobody can do anything about it. Like, I don't feel like that's going to happen with Marvel anytime soon, because they kept the group the right kind of people.
Yeah, because it's all
creative.
Yeah. It's all King Feige doing, moving all of his pieces in the right order and having his generals line up the proper way, you know what I mean? I can't imagine Feige getting tired of any of this anytime soon, but I know for a fact that they're, I don't want to say scrambling, but looking how to keep this type of thing going without those mains, without a Captain America, without an Iron Man, I would have said without a Thor, but nowadays it just seems like, after Ragnarok, as you said, we're not to the top of that mountain yet. If there isn't, if we find out if he is a mountain, maybe it's just a fucking the side of a planet. You know what I mean? He's just gonna rotate back around. So I could see those not going away, but needing to be not a focus point anymore. And so you have the Captain Marvel, you have a possibility of Ant-Man 3, depending on how well Ant-Man and Wasp does. Mm-hmm. You have obviously Spider-Man still. He's only one real solo movie in. A Guardians 3, which you already know is happening. There's been talk of Eternal stuff because they're focusing more on the galactic and the that kind of stuff, which is what Ant-Man is involved in with the with that. Obviously, Doctor Strange is deep in. Mm-hmm. Captain Marvel is obviously just powered by it. The possible addition of the Fantastic Four. After the merger is complete in August of next year, which I believe is the time frame it's supposed to be solidified in. So there's all that, which makes perfect sense because Marvel looked at Papa Disney and said, hey, like, our plans are this. Can you go get us what we want back?
Yeah.
And Disney's like, yeah, let me just get the checkbook out real quick. And they essentially bought the first family. Mm-hmm. And they're steeped in that area, so it just makes sense. If you would have asked me that beforehand, I would have been like, "Well, that's impossible. Like, Fox is never going to give them up. So how do you get around that? You buy them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's like, you're not going to give it up. Cool, we own you. It's like when Tony's like, yo, I liked this. Like, you know, I'm going to buy this. They're like, you can't just buy them. I'm buying the hotel.
The other part too that like the little tiny interesting parts to me is of this movie that I'm more interested in seeing how that plays out in the next one than anything is like I said earlier, Cap and Iron Man, there's going to be some type of, you know, reconnect there. Mm-hmm. And I still feel those two make the ultimate sacrifice at some point. And like, I think those two are the two that go out, and kind of save the day and be the heroes, but then also end it. It's just right now. That's
Captain America more than Tony, but Tony would be so racked with the guilt of it that's what makes him quit.
But the other side thing,
I don't like that idea.
No, it's just me personally. I just feel like it's one, these, they're not just from a realistic thing. They're not going to be these characters forever. And I know Cody's like, let them step away for a few years, and then they can come back when they're needed as something else. I personally think it's going to go a different direction. But the other thing is the whole baby subplot that was introduced.
Morgan Stark, oddly enough, the name of Tony's estranged brother.
Yeah, that.
Sorry.
So that's very interesting to me because, like, obviously he gets back to Earth. He, you know what I mean? He has something going on. Like, I really want to see what that conversation with Pepper is, because I think she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. Like, that's and she says no, but like, I think that's what's going
better.
On. And we might not know, or maybe it's the she says let's have a kid and we'll do this, we'll plan, and they think they're in the good, and then something else bad, really bad happens, because every time they feel like they're something starting good, get good, something bad happens. But yeah, I'm interested to see how that plays out too. So what do you think, baby iron baby? Are we gonna have an iron baby?
We could
in the next movie.
I mean, it'd be the crib turns into like a fortified tank to get him out of the danger.
And buttons he pressed shoots things.
There's like star Goo Goo Gaga. And like moon shape.
His mobile is actually just a fucking targeting system.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think how we want to. So do you think Adam
Warlock
shows up in the next one?
He could.
It's definitely a possibility.
But I think they're waiting for the reveal for that for Volume 3.
Yeah,
because there has to be an antagonist of some sort for them to go against. It's not just the search. It's not just, you know, Star Trek 3. The search for Gamora.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It needs to be. There needs to be an opposing force. You know, like he finds out where they need to go to bring her back with the stone, and he's obviously chasing him, or there's a big battle between them and there. Because the Soul Stone is really what transforms Adam Warlock from being a galaxy-ending villain to being a hero. And that's how it worked in the comic books. And I think that's one of the best ways to do his character in the movies, because he is a weapon used by, I can't remember the race of people right now, the gold people.
Yeah.
When he, if he gets the opportunity to free himself from that bondage and can be the hero he wants to be, would also give you an opportunity to give them another big villain to go against, because if Thanos doesn't make it out of this movie, the next movie, you need a big driving force. And in the comic books, the Magus, who is the evil incarnation portion of Adam Warlock's soul, when it gets separated and he becomes freed, becomes an entity of its own right and is the big bad villain later on in the books too. So that's another way of doing it. And so you could have that, I don't want to say lucky go happy ending, but the sort of happy ending, because maybe Gamora cannot be brought back. And so you add Adam to the roster. You know what I mean? Or maybe he goes off on something. I don't know. But that's just another way you can do it, too. Because I have a feeling James is smart enough. I say James because I'm on first name basis with him now.
Apparently.
He's the kind of smart where he doesn't have a villain who dies every time. You know what I mean? He has so far. But there's Adam Warlock's a bigger character than Ronan the Accuser or even Ego. And we don't even know if Ego's technically dead or not. We know his brain was blown up, but
yeah.
May just be, you know, his, you know, that thing, because he's an Eternal, so it's like, you know, he may not be. So it's hard to say, but I mean, I would say there's plenty of opportunity out there.
And then also on the post credit scene with old Nick Fury,
and the Executioner of Cap,
the Code Red being, of course, who Cody?
Space Pager. Sending out a page to Captain Marvel.
If she's Code Red, do you think we get a young Samuel Jackson?
We do. We've already been confirmed.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And back
is he playing himself? Just digital face?
they're de-makeuping him.
Oh, so he had two eyes.
We may see him with two eyes. He was yet to show it because he was on. Fuck. He was on set. Was it yesterday?
It's gonna
today?
Look he like he looked photo? In Coming to America.
No, I don't think he'll be on meth. so in the past few weeks, he's been posting pictures from makeup trailer, and you've yet to show him with the scars and the eye patch. But they haven't seen him actually doing makeup on him today. I think it was today, earlier today or yesterday, he posted a nipples down shot of him in the makeup trailer, and you could see people doing something to him, but it won't show what it was.
Nipples down?
Yeah. And he made a reference saying, Afro it up. He said Afro it up, but he's wearing an Afro Samurai shirt, so I don't know if that was just a reference to that or what was happening upstairs, because they could be putting on an Afro to make him young.
Young Nick Fury can't have an Afro.
In 1992? And hide a kid in play?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's military already. He can't have military Afros.
You tell that to young Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah. I will, young Sam Jackson.
Really? You're going to do that?
Can you
do it clear of us?
Yeah, I'll make sure.
It's just me. I don't want your blood on me.
So with Nick Fury, is there seeing people just vanish in front of his face for what he
and then
assumes no good explanation?
Yes, because he has no idea what's fully going on.
And for him to go, okay, the worst, that's got to be like worst case scenario for the world at that point. And he goes Code Red, and Code Red is Captain Marvel. How badass is Captain Marvel? If that's the Code Red, if that's the person you call,
bring her out.
Yeah. If like the attack on New York didn't
bring her,
like,
out.
He didn't even fucking sweat calling anybody else, and he could have. If you know, the events of not Civil War, Winter Soldier, wasn't enough to have him page a Code Red, and we know he's known about her the whole time, obviously. How super dope is Captain Marvel going to be in these movies?
Going to be pretty dope.
Like, they're Superman, right? Like, that's kind of what I heard.
Essentially, yeah. Imagine if you were to put the firepower ability from Tony's suits inside Captain America as being a human being with all that strength, but the equivalent of a sun, of a star. That's what Captain Marvel is. She literally has a living star inside of her.
So, like, the second movie might literally just be her showing up and punching Thanos in the face and just punking him for
That's why I think Thanos isn't the big bad.
This is mine now, you bitch.
Like, I
face mushes him.
Yeah, just walks up and just...
bad. Because it kind of reminds me of, like, Justice League when, like, Superman finally shows up. Like, there's no issues.
Steppenwolf's like, Jesus
Christ. Yeah, like, he just punks him, basically. Reestablishing how fucking
powerful
Superman is. I feel like that could be a good play. If that bitch is Code Red and they've never needed a Code Red before, like, she's got to be brutal.
Yeah, that's what makes me think. So whatever happens in the Captain Marvel movie, which we don't know fully takes place in 1992, but we know it starts in 1992. Whatever happens to that leads to... the reason she's able to be called in and where she's at, because why hasn't she, if she's nearby, why hasn't she shown up for those things? Not even be called in as a Code Red, but like being aware that she is needed in those situations. Because up until like Avengers 2, there wasn't like this otherworldly effect on the planet like there was in Avengers 1. Obviously Avengers 3, Infinity War, there was a mass influence of outside force coming to Earth, you know what I mean? Like, a very large force and fiery spikes that hit the ground. So, something like that, like, obviously she's somewhere where she can't just, like, hop, skip, and jump right to the planet. I don't know how that space pager works, because it seems like it's kind of a big deal. So, is she now closer because of the events of her movie? You know what I mean? Like, why does Nick Fury now have this pager? Because obviously he knew about her, but why does he now have this pager? Does she show back up in modern time in between the events of Civil War and the events of Infinity War? And where? Because obviously we know Nick has been somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
He's helping Cap, obviously, with the Secret Avengers portion of it. I'm just wondering, who really the bad guy is of her movie, and how does that play into the events of...
Who is her classical bad guys? I don't know, really.
The Skrulls. Yeah.
Okay.
As well as more modern ones, she's just an Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
So it's anybody, you know, all the baddies on Earth and stuff. And
right.
That. But she's mostly intergalactic. She's much like... Well, she is much like Nova, because Nova, his suit is running off the same energy. Hers, it's living inside of her.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Marvel was what passed it on to her, which I'm wondering if we actually get to meet him, get to see him in her movie.
Would be interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, would kind of make sense, too, because you kind of have to have an origin story for this type of character that most people don't know.
Where it comes from. She's an Air Force pilot who has bestowed this galactic power on somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to see where they go. But I mean, the rumors are that her enemy is the Skrulls, because they're fair game.
So we might be looking at like a secret invasion type thing for her movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
which could take place in 1992.
Right.
Her drive, whatever that force is, she then chases or gets removed from the area of Earth and the 616, as they say. And is somewhere else in the galaxy eliminating the threat or trying to eliminate the threat, whatever it happens to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because a bunch of weeks ago, before anything came out, the Russo brothers posted a picture of Secret Invasion on their Instagram, and everyone's like, oh, it's going to be the fourth movie. Like, that's the title of the fourth movie. Mm-hmm. Great and all, it's just there's too much to go into that.
Yeah.
To do it, so I have a feeling that's what her story is all about, is the Secret Invasion, is she gets bestowed the power from a dying Captain Marvel, she becomes Captain Marvel, and to fight off this Secret Invasion, and that's probably one of the ways that Nick loses an eye.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a very interesting scar he has, so very likely could be that.
Mm-hmm.
Which would make more sense, and then whatever that villain is, I don't think it's technically it could be the Super Skrull, but he's more of the Fantastic Four villain than anything else, and that's too early for us to I mean, unless the merger is officially like, oh, we're good to go, but it's like that's too well planned out to be ahead of time. But we also said that about Spider-Man, so because that shit just popped right the fuck in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's interesting to see. It's mind-boggling to me to think of what's going on in it already, but
definitely.
Let's play some real quick to wrap this up, Mike. Yeah. We're there.
We're long.
Let's do box office review, box office numbers,
real quick. All of it.
So I will give you
all the monies.
I will give you an over under. We talked about this earlier. An over under. How much money Infinity War is at right now, and what it will be by the end of this weekend.
It's over. Just take the over. Okay. It made all the money.
So what do you think it's at right now, and what do you think it's going to be at?
Are we talking domestic or worldwide?
Worldwide.
Worldwide.
We're doing all the buckets.
You know what? The numbers are so ridiculous. Why don't you just list them off? Because...
So, as of right now, of recording Wednesday, May 2nd, before any box office numbers come in, Avengers Infinity War worldwide total right now is $808 million.
Ooh.
Less than $200 million away from being a billion. It is essentially 7 days into its run. And we don't have one of the largest markets besides the United States. And technically, it's actually larger a lot of times for these movies than the United States, mainly because of the population. But also a very large territory in Russia has not got it until tomorrow. The 11th of May is when China gets it. That's estimated to be anywhere from $250 million to upwards of $500 million.
For the opening weekend.
For the opening weekend.
So realistically, we could be at almost two by next weekend.
Yes.
Like that's...
So by the close of the opening weekend in China, they could be pushing $2 billion.
So two weeks into domestic release, it could be pretty much... $2 billion worldwide.
Yeah.
That's,
as of right
that's
now...
That's the kind of money that is just silly.
Before the first week is over, a first official week, which would be... The first official week would be next... basically tomorrow night, Thursday night. Friday morning, technically. Because that's when the first dollar started to hit. They could possibly be at over $1 billion before that. I think that's a record.
I think it's very doable.
It's
too.
Extremely doable.
How we're looking at the numbers, and if you try to get tickets right now, you still can't get tickets.
Because I think Russia is good for $100 million.
Yeah.
Which,
and like I said, China is probably going to give you $500.
Yeah.
Like pretty easily, almost.
So just with Russia and the rest of the world still putting in money, before it hits the 11th, when it hits China, we could be at $1 billion, and $1.5 billion. At their end of their opening weekend.
And then whatever the rest of the world.
Yeah.
So the rest of the world basically has to do half a bill. And yeah. I think they will in the second week, which is ridiculous.
So we could be within a month of its release. So before Disney's next big movie, which is the Han Solo movie, comes out, this movie could be over $2 billion.
Yeah.
That's fucking insane.
If you want to project out worldwide total.
So normally... 2 weeks in, worldwide total.
The rule of thumb is 2 weeks
is
half of what you're going to earn. The first 2 weeks is half of what you're going to learn through the life of the movie.
Yeah.
That's mostly domestic-wise.
Yes.
It's a little bit different of how the averages shake out for some other countries. But if you just take that principle and push it forward, the worldwide...
Yeah, because so as of right now, so the two totals are this. Domestically, it's at $305 million. The rest of the territories adds up the rest of the $502 million. So if we do that, if we go halvesies, essentially without... And that's just those markets. So we're not talking about Russia or China yet. That's at $1.6 billion.
That's so much money.
Just that. That's just... that, and that overtakes Black Panther... Right?
Yeah.
And Black Panther's run, that's they're at $1.3 billion, and that's at the end of their run. They're about to hit home release. So that's no longer... I mean, there'll be a few sputtering theaters are still showing it, But that's it. That's done. It's, I mean, it's over 1.3 billion, which is, I would have never guessed that.
No.
I mean, after I saw the movie, yes. Before I saw the movie, I would have never guessed over $1 billion. I would say pushing it, I would say being on that Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 level, you know, the 800 million, 900 million realm, I would have never guessed 1.3 billion. That's just fucking mind-boggling to me. But knowing that as of less than a week, technically in theaters, this is almost over half of what Black Panther did in its 3-month run.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
insane.
Fucking nuts. I mean, granted, this is arguably 10 years of build, but really Black Panther is too. Black Panther is has all the steam of all the other success behind the last 10 years, and the debut came out.
That's a little bit, that's kind of different though.
Well, it is different. I'm saying it has the steam because it is a proven formula for Marvel to make really good movies. The difference with this movie, and this reason it's making more, is because it is the culmination of all those 10 years.
Yeah, all the Marvel movies are all the spokes, and this Avengers movie is the big wheel that it's finally, everything's being put on.
And I think we talked about last night, right, at Wing Night? We were thinking about this. Imagine, Mike, first time ever, technically, the third movie in a trilogy is better than all the other ones. And outperforms all the other ones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we have a fourth movie to go still.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's hard to compare them to any other type trilogies because it's such a different... This is like a cheater trilogy because the story has been set up over the course of 18 movies, not just the previous two. So it's in a league all of its own. Like, this is epic... fucking you know, experience done, really the first of its kind, and crazy how it started with
Iron Man. here's the last math question I'm gonna ask you guys.
Math.
So if you had to think of the total number for all 19 of these movies so far, for revenue earned, what do you think it's at? All up, all 19 movies, how much does it come out to?
You're going to probably be close to like the 10 billion, 12 billion range.
Okay, so you're in 10 to 12 billion. Michael, peel yourself away from the Star Wars game for a minute.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm looking at the pictures for Infinity War. I'm probably in that boat too. The 10 to 12.
10 to 12?
Seems about, yeah.
You're both low.
Yeah. Much.
I figured I would be, but like
$15.6 billion.
Yeah.
Worldwide.
All up. Mm-hmm. And again, this is just box office. We're not talking home release. This is literally just box office numbers.
I was really thinking about, because the Marvel movies are still on sale on iTunes, and I was thinking about just buying all of them.
We did the math on that, right? What was the math?
200 and something.
242 or some shit like that.
Was that when them on sale, right?
Yeah, $15 a pop.
I thought there was a couple that were $10.
No.
Are they all 15?
They're all 15. Okay. I don't have... I have a couple of them on iTunes, I think.
Yeah, I do too.
Well, you have most of them. I only have a couple. So it's going to cost me pretty close to the full 240-something.
The only two I don't have are Black Panther because it came out... Well, technically I own Black Panther because I pre-ordered it.
Right, but we're not counting that one because obviously it hasn't come out yet.
But I don't own Iron Man 1 on iTunes.
Which is egregious. I don't understand why.
Well, because...
It's because it...
Blu-rays.
Yeah, we're a thing then.
We're still...
10 years ago, better, Blu-rays were
better
still...
Better way.
Yeah.
The way to do it.
You still could have just bought it.
I could have, yes. And I still can. The last thing we'll talk about before we wrap up, we did a little bit, is our upcoming...
Fuck, man.
...movies for Marvel. Between now and Avengers 4, the untitled film... We have Ant-Man and Wasp that comes out later this year in July. And we have Captain Marvel next year in March.
Yes, we do.
Nah. And then after that, we only have two, as of right now, confirmed Marvel movies. And they are Spider-Man Homecoming Sequel, whichever that's going to be called.
Might not be confirmed.
Might not be confirmed. Well, it's confirmed here.
Might be a smokescreen.
But it doesn't have a
writer Spider-Man yet. Dusted away.
And then we have Guardians Galaxy Volume 3, which may or not be thing to you. So...
Could be a Rocket movie.
So I so could be
it's just Rocket.
Rocket.
Maybe Thor too.
Rocket and Thor.
Yeah,
it
could
yeah.
be Rocket and Thor. Yeah.
And if maybe you know, maybe another one just floating around. Like take a
Valkyrie. Maybe Valkyrie got out of there.
Yeah, maybe Valkyrie. You know, so it's catch up Valkyrie, Valkyrie somewhere. Thor and Rocket.
That actually that'd be a pretty fun trio.
Yeah, I'd watch it. Yeah.
Yeah. Valkyrie is an alcoholic, so that adds a nice little level.
Oh yeah,
it's true. But yeah, so that's all we got for this week's episode of Comes Naturally. We are
Joe,
Mike.
I am Cody, and as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.